The next case to be heard is 2010-0899, Delaney versus the Tax Commissioner. The county auditor is the appellant and has waived. So we will hear from the Tax Commissioner, Mr. Hubbard.
Thank you, Your Honor. With me here today is our co-appellee, represented by Tom DeBrosse from the Thompson Hine firm, and he's representing the co-appellee, YSI Inc. This case, I'm tempted to say, so I will, is deja vu all over again. We had a earlier oral argument before this Master Commissioner a few months ago involving another LaJuana Delaney appeal from the Board of Tax Appeals. It's virtually identical to this one in many respects, because in both that case involving the waste management company as co-appellee with the commissioner, the board had issued a decision and order granting a motion to dismiss the notice of appeal. Delaney in that case, as here, failed to specify error in her notice of appeal to the Board of Tax Appeals. And the board, we believe, properly ruled that this specification of error requirement, that's a jurisdictional mandatory requirement in the BTA notice of appeal statute, wasn't complied with.
Let me ask you a question. In this case, too, there's 3 years at issue. I think they're 04, 05, and 07. And there was an additional ground for a jurisdictional dismissal on 04 and 05. Does the commissioner agree with that ground?
Absolutely, Your Honor. In fact, that ground is equally fatal. In other words, that's an independent basis for determining that the notice of appeal to the board filed by the Greene County Auditor was jurisdictionally barred, was not jurisdictionally defective and fatally so. If we look at the 2004 and 2005 tax year final assessment certificates that were issued, and that's the final determination, then that must be appealed to the Board of Tax Appeals, there's a 60-day appeal period. And that this court has held that that requirement is indeed a mandatory jurisdictional one that runs to the core of procedural efficiency. And so, of course, that would be an alternative rationale for affirmance. In this case, if we take a look at the notice of appeal that the Greene County Auditor filed with the Ohio Supreme Court, it doesn't appear to us that she preserved that issue. And we might also add, Mr. DeBrosse, when we were talking about this yesterday, pointed out that as far as his client's concerned, the 2004 and 2005 tax years are by far more important, because the tax liability at issue in those years, for each year, for the first year, 2004, it was a little over $70,000 in tax and then interest. And then in the 2005 tax, is it 2004 and 5? There were the 2 years. And the second of those two was like $69,000 in tax, whereas the 2007 tax year, which appears to be the only one that Ms. Delaney is now contesting, is about $4,100 in tax. So from his client's standpoint, those first 2 years are of much greater concern. Of course, we argue strenuously that for the 2007 tax year, the specification of error requirement dooms them. But we would like to point that out. We might also point out that this is not a case where there's any real issue concerning the validity of what the commissioner did. The final assessment certificates that were issued in this case for all three of the years were based upon an earlier controversy that was fully litigated involving the same issues for the 2002 and 2003 tax years, the personal property tax, of course, being an annual tax, so you often will see recurrent issues. And in this instance, the company is engaged in environmental remediation and uses a lot of computers. And the question was whether the computers were properly valued by the commissioner under his standard methodology. And part of that methodology, effective with the 2003 tax year, was to treat standalone computers that are used for administrative purposes with a pretty quick class life relative to most equipment. And as Mr. DeBrosse explains to me and is reflected in the record, the taxpayer, YSI, at the Board of Tax Appeals went through a mediation process with the board, and pursuant to that process furnished original documentation that was very specific, that identified how these computers were being used, including the original invoices. And the commissioner's auditing agents then looked over that, and then they reached a settlement not only for the years at issue at the board, 2002 and 2003, but going forward, because by the time it got to the board in mediation, those years, of course, had run their course too. So we're now looking at like tax year 2000 or calendar year 2007. So as a consequence of that studied review by all parties involved, the parties came to what we believe is a very fair and reasonable result. And there's nothing.
Did the auditor involve herself at any stage in the proceedings?
Not that we know of, Your Honor. And I would say if you take a look at her reply brief at the Ohio Supreme Court, she says that that she categorically denies that she was provided with information, right? There's no affidavit or anything that would suggest that. There's nothing in the record that would say one way or the other whether she actually requested any information or was involved. But on the other hand, it's interesting what she didn't say. She didn't say that she requested it either. And in fact, to our knowledge, we don't know one way or the other, because the commissioner routinely discusses things with county auditors and their personnel. It's something that's the everyday business of the commissioner's personal property personnel to be in contact with county auditor personnel. As we point out, and as the Ohio General Assembly sets forth expressly, for purposes of personal property tax, the county auditors are deputies of the tax commissioner. That's in the very definition of assessor. And so, and frankly, with Juana Delaney, the Greene County Auditor, she personally calls. So she could have in this case, or some of her personnel could have. And certainly if she had, as we've represented, we would routinely have provided that information to her. But let's just take a step back. Let's suppose that the commissioner, for whatever reason, says, you know, auditor, we're not going to give you the information. We're not going to tell you. You're a deputy, and you're a deputy. So we're not going to tell you. Well, this court said in the Hamilton County budget revision case, it's the city of Cincinnati in the 1970s, that there is a remedy for that. And the remedy is, if you think you have a right to that information, you file a mandamus action. They never did that. They waited, in this case, the Greene County Auditor waited until the Board of Tax Appeals, and we file our motion to dismiss. And then she says, the reason we didn't specify error is because we didn't have the information. Well, you should have asked for it, and if we didn't give it to you then, and you thought you had a right to it, you should have filed a mandamus action. And she argues that if you really dissect what she's saying in her brief, if you read the totality of it, what she's really suggesting is that the 88 county auditors are required to be given all the information from the tax commissioner, even if it's not requested. So the commissioner would spend all day and all night sending all the information to the county auditors in all these cases, and they're going to say, what the heck is this about? But apparently that's her view of the world, and she asserts that she has a constitutional right on behalf of her citizens, without even requesting the information and documentation, to receive it. You know, frankly, that's a pretty hard pill to swallow. You know, it's hard to believe the legislature would have wanted that result, because we're talking about, you know, hamstringing government while talking about needless, senseless activities. And, you know, I wonder why she's not here. I think that's the reason why. Because when you really look at this case, it collapses. There's absolutely no basis for what they're asserting. And I hope, given that there are many other cases that she's filing appeals on, that are sitting at the Board of Tax Appeals where she's identifying the same lack of specification. What she said in this case was, the tax commissioner's final determination was unreasonable and unwarranted, period. Actually, she also said the business was out of existence and closed, and that's clearly false. But, you know, I think she's distanced herself from that second allegation. But the first allegation, you couldn't think of anything more unspecific. I mean, if I said something's wrong.
Let me ask you about that second one. In the case was argued a couple of months ago, there was a supplemental filing.
Right.
Was there a supplemental filing?
There wasn't. And I think maybe because she didn't take the time to look up, you know, Waste Management, of course, was the other case. They're a Fortune 500 company. I guess she probably somehow Googled it or something and figured out, you know, maybe Waste Management still exists. But, you know, YSI Inc. is also a very big concern. You know, it's still an ongoing active business. And it's a very successful business. She could have Googled that one, too, or whatever she did to ascertain that Waste Management was still in business. I guess because it was the second case, she maybe, you know, we'd have to ask her, but I don't know why she didn't do it.
We don't know.
Yeah. It's pure speculation. And that's one of the problems we have. You know, I talked to my client about this, and she said, well, Bart, you're going to argue against yourself today. I mean, basically, that's not really it. But, you know, it's tough kind of sometimes to, you know, you don't want to hammer them too hard because there's no response. But, I mean, frankly, it is kind of questionable in my view. Mr. DeBras, would you care to?
Mr. DeBras, yes. Well, we'll hear from you, too, since we have no auditor to hear from.
Thank you, Mr. Hubbard. Your Honor, I would like to say that with regard to the primary substantive issue here, it was a factual issue about whether the computers qualified for the more favorable class of standalone computer. And initially, for 2002 and 2003 audits, that new provision for standalone computers came into play first in 2003. The taxpayer did not contest 2002. That assessment was paid. But on 2003, we were accepted into mediation, the thought being that this was primarily a factual determination and that would be a good forum to address those factual issues. And as part of that process, the taxpayer submitted two detailed reconciliations of information, as Mr. Hubbard indicated, that went back to actually the invoices for computers coming in on a test basis, and then reconciling that into a fixed asset ledger and then right into the audited financial statement balance sheet. So that the initial concern by the auditor was that the records were not organized. There had been previous personnel at the taxpayer at that time, and they hadn't done a sufficient job, and they didn't provide the requested information. I was brought in later, actually after the notice of appeal had been filed to the Board of Tax Appeals. We submitted that information, and then there was a determination as to the standalone computer classification for 2003 with, as Mr. Hubbard said, the understanding that that type of analysis would then be carried forward to these subsequent years. And that is what happened. Now, had the Greene County auditor requested the underlying information, that information could have been provided either by the commissioner or by the taxpayer, frankly, had she asked, but we're not aware that she ever made any such request.
Thank you, Mr. DeBras.
Thank you, Your Honor.
This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.